Thank you. You may be seated. Following the call of holiness, God wants to raise up a church in Canada, and God is doing so in the nation of Canada. But I want to tell you, brethren, that the devil is angry. The devil is throwing everything imaginable against our fellowship in Vancouver. But I want to tell you something. We're still there, and we're going to remain there in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord for that. We praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I do want to take just this opportunity to bring greetings from your brethren in Vancouver and let you know that even though we're small in number, that what God is building is something wonderful and beautiful. And we have pure gold, brethren. We've endured many shakings, but there are many that are still standing. And they're going to carry this message of holiness that we've talked about to their brethren and to all who are here. And we praise God for that. Most of our fellowship is here at this camp meeting, being exposed to the move of God because they want to be part of what God is doing in these last days. They're sick and tired of sloppy agape and easy grace and bless me, bless me, bless me. They're tired of that. And we're preaching a message of holiness and what God is doing in this last hour and deliverance, setting His people free to become the bride of Christ and the man-child. And He's doing it. And they want to be a part of it. And they are a part of it. And so are you. One thing I've grown to really appreciate, and that is
heart to you this morning and say yes. We very simply, oh God, say yes, and we trust you for it to be done. You would not call, oh God, and then leave us without the way. We will, oh God, be this people you're calling us to be.
Thank you. You may be seated. Following the call of holiness, God wants to raise up a church in Canada, and God is doing so in the nation of Canada. But I want to tell you, brethren, that the devil is angry. The devil is throwing everything imaginable against our fellowship in Vancouver. But I want to tell you something. We're still there, and we're going to remain there in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord for that. We praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I do want to take just this opportunity to bring greetings from your brethren in Vancouver and let you know that even though we're small in number, that what God is building is something wonderful and beautiful. And we have pure gold, brethren. We've endured many shakings, but there are many that are still standing. And they're going to carry this message of holiness that we've talked about to their brethren and to all who are here. And we praise God for that. Most of our fellowship is here at this camp meeting, being exposed to the move of God because they want to be part of what God is doing in these last days. They're sick and tired of sloppy agape and easy grace. And bless me, bless me, bless me. They're tired of that. And we're preaching a message of holiness and what God is doing in this last hour and deliverance, setting His people free to become the bride of Christ and the man-child. And He's doing it. And they want to be a part of it. And they are a part of it. And so are you. One thing I've grown to really appreciate, and that is this body. How this body has responded to the call of the move of the Spirit to go to Vancouver. How many times I've just said, I need you to go, would you help? And they say, yes, I will go. Hallelujah. At a moment's notice, we've taken people up to minister the love of God. And something else I've grown to appreciate, my brethren, and that is these satellite pastors and fellowship leaders that have gone out. Right. I've started several works in the ministry that I've had in the past. And I never had any trouble. It wasn't hard to gather people. I had one church that was 70 people when they called me as a pastor, and inside of a year it was 250 people, just like that. But when I began to preach holiness, right, not only did a lot of people begin to leave, but they asked me to leave. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. And so I appreciate these brothers, because it's been a difficult ministry, and it is a difficult ministry. It is not a popular message to the church. To commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, how many of you know that is not a popular message with the church today? And so our church sometimes is like a revolving door. But you know, every once in a while somebody sticks. And when they stick, they really stick. A couple of weeks ago, we had a singles retreat, and four of our singles came down, I believe it was. And they came back from that singles retreat, and we just had a time of testimony and sharing. And oh, what it does to a pastor's heart when you see people are responding to the call of God. And many times you can't tell, you don't see any evident fruit, and you wonder, are they hearing anything that I'm saying? And then all of a sudden one gets up and gives a testimony and says, I'm going to the greatest church in town. My life has changed. I love Jesus more than ever before in my life. I never thought it could be so wonderful. And oh, it just makes the heart just cry and weep and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I want to share one other thing with you that impacted my heart before I get into my message, and I'll be on time. But last night before service, we came early, and my wife was dancing before the Lord with great freedom, and I danced for a while, but I felt a real need that I had to go before the Lord. I just needed to go before the Lord. The dancing was wonderful, and the praise was wonderful, but I just needed to get on my knees before Him. And so I went back to the prayer room about 6:15, and it was just packed. In fact, I couldn't find a place the first time through. And I thought, isn't this wonderful? How many pastors would love to see a site where people are praying, there's no room to pray? But I went around a second time and I found a place to pray. And I just sat down and I was drawn to this particular spot. And there was a young lady next to me, and I'm not sure, but I think she was blind. And she was just praising Jesus. And I sat there and I wanted to pray. And I had resolved during this camp meeting that I was not going to burden God as if it were be a burden, but I wasn't going to bother God with my needs or even the needs of the ministry. I was just going to praise Him and honor Him and glorify Him and say, Jesus, what do You want to do? And I sat down and I tried to pray and I couldn't pray. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me why I couldn't pray. Because next to me was coming the most beautiful prayer of praise that I had ever heard in my life. Oh, worthy Jesus. Worthy art Thou, Jesus. Jesus, I love You. I love You. You are my victory. You are my strength. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I love You. I love You. And I just sat there, and I said, oh, this is my prayer. I don't need to pray. This is my prayer. And I just said, yes, yes, Lord. Me too, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that just shows how much we need each other. How much. You see, I don't know what ministry this sister has, but she had a ministry yesterday with this pastor. She ministered to my heart and to my spirit, and I was so much the better for it. I've entitled my message today, Becoming as a Little Child. And I added a subtitle, while I was sitting down there, an attribute of the man-child, becoming as a little child. And I want to start out by way of introduction by sharing a vision that I had, and then a second vision that I had that pertains directly to this message. I know it does. But about 2 months ago in the Vancouver Fellowship, as I was preparing to preach and the saints had gathered around me and were praying for me, I received a vision. I have not received many visions since becoming a Christian. There have been times when I've received a continual vision, and that was of seeing the Lord, as it were, perhaps on the shore of Galilee, walking along the shore at a distance. And I would be in that vision myself, and I would be walking, trying to catch up with the Lord, because I knew it was the Lord. Even though we were several hundred yards away, I knew it was the Lord. And I wanted to desperately catch up with Him. But every time I would envision that, I would never get any closer to Him. He would just always be the same distance. And then the vision would pass. And I had that vision many times, but I could never get any closer to the Lord. And then on this Sunday, as I was being ministered to by the saints, it came into my mind again, that same vision, and I saw the Lord on the shore, and I was walking, trying to catch up with Him, and all of a sudden, I began to catch up with Him. All of a sudden, He was waiting for me, and I was becoming closer and closer, and in my spirit, I know I was saying, "Hallelujah, I'm going to see the Lord." And I got up close to Him, and He turned, and I didn't know what to do. And so I just took my arm, and I put it around His waist. And He turned His head, and He looked at me. And I said, "Lord, what do You want me to do?" And He said, "Feed my sheep." That's all He said. And then He put His arm around my waist. He just said, "Feed my sheep." And then it was all over. I was impressed because the Lord treated me as a man. As a man to a man. There is great emphasis in the Scripture on us becoming a man. Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." In Ephesians 4, 13 through 15, a popular passage, it says that till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And Paul continued in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so we see in Scripture that we are not to remain children. We are not to remain babes in Christ. But we are to move on to maturity, to manhood, to becoming the man-child. Now what are these attributes of a man that we should become? Strength and maturity is one. Truly, when it says, "I can do all things through Christ," we should be that type of person, because He strengthens me. A man would have great capability. He can do things that a child can never do by virtue of his strength and his wisdom and his maturity. A man or a mature saint has the ability to maintain the unity of the faith. He is able to produce offspring, converts for God, as we're wanting to do in the nation of Canada. Produce offspring through maturity. Some have said, why do we spend so much time trying to learn what the Word of God says? Why aren't we out reproducing? And I have said, brother, learn what the Word of God says, and then you will have no trouble out reproducing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then manhood shows knowledge and ability to make good decisions. How many of you have wrestled trying to make good decisions when you don't feel like that's a good decision? How many of you have heard from your pastor time after time after time that we must make our decisions based on the Word of God and not on our feelings? I ministered to a sister, precious sister, has been in the ministry up there ever since the beginning. I would have never guessed in a million years that she would have fallen away from the faith. But I faced a situation with her that it appeared that she had fallen away from the faith. I thought she was so strong. And yet the devil came to her, and because she didn't feel a certain way, she began to make decisions based on her feeling. And as I shared with her, my wife shared with her, she said, I know what you're saying is right, but I don't feel that way. And then she said, I know I'm not being deceived. Sister, you are being deceived. I don't think I'm being deceived. Sister, you are being deceived. Of course you don't think you're being deceived. The last one to think that they're being deceived is the one that's being deceived. And so what do we do in a time like that? So you see, there's none of us beyond that, is there? None of us beyond being deceived. And so we go by the Word of God. And we stand on the Word of God regardless of how we feel. And then a man has a developed body where all of the members are strong. You see, that's what God is building right here in this fellowship. A strong man where the members of the body are developed and strong. You see, that sister who ministered to me was a part of this body, of this man-child company. And because she was strong and developed in the Lord, and because she knew how to praise her Savior, she ministered to me. She fit with me. She was just what I needed in this body. And then the man would have Christ-likeness, the ability to become like the last Adam, the perfect man, in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And the man, maturity in his fullness, has the ability to become like Christ. And then a man has a deeper capacity and ability to love and to make a serious commitment before the Lord. And all of those things are necessary if we're going to be what God wants us to be. But let me share another vision with you that I received the very next week in the same place, almost identical circumstances. And naturally, after having that vision, I wanted to have that vision again. Don knows how that is. You know how that is. And as I was being ministered to, I found myself in that same place. And there was the Lord. And I began to catch up with Him, and I just rejoiced. I was going to get a hug again. And maybe He'd have something else to say to me. And as I approached the Lord, and I wanted to reach up with my arm and put it around His waist again as I did before, I found that I wasn't tall enough to do that. The only thing I could do was to reach up with my little hand and put it in His. And He reached down and He grabbed my hand. And all of a sudden I realized that I wasn't that man any longer. I was a little child. And all He did was look down and He just smiled. And I felt so free. And I felt so comfortable. And I felt so full of joy. And I just remember swinging His arm and kind of skipping down the path. And I didn't have a care in my life. And so what the Lord showed me through that is, yes, He He's willing to treat me as a man. And He wants me to be a man. And He wants me to attain that full maturity and completeness in Him. To be able to be strong and mature and make those good decisions. But I must also approach Him as a little child, trusting in innocence and in purity. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew, the 18th chapter. And I want to read from Matthew, the 18th chapter, 1 through 3, and then also chapter 19. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in My name shall receive Me. And then in chapter 19, 13 and 14. Then were there brought unto Him little children, that He should put His hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto Me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. What is desirable about being like a little child? Well, certainly in this passage in Matthew 18, Jesus pointed to the humility of a little child. That we must have no pride or rank of distinction. We should prefer one another. We should not exalt ourselves, for the Scripture says that He will exalt us in due time as we humble ourselves. We should put aside selfish ambition. There should be no jealousy and no envy. A little child is receptive. They will receive the smallest thing with great excitement and joy. The simple things are the things that excite a little child. I don't know whether you can remember, but I do. When I was a little child, and when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and during World War II, we had a vacant lot next door, and we used to play war. And you remember those days, and you were always after the enemy, right? And we used to dig these little holes, and there were our foxholes. And you know what we used as a machine gun? Well, it wasn't a 1595 Mattel special. It was a little 2x4. Just a little 2x4 piece of wood that we found somewhere. And if it was just long enough, it made the neatest machine gun. And we made all the sound effects. And we were just as happy as could be. And that's the way a little child is. Just the simple things bring great joy. And then a little child has meekness, gentleness, and mildness. They really do. And they have a simple trust. That's why it's such a blessing to minister to a babe in Christ, isn't it? They have such a simple trust that what you're sharing with them from the Scripture is the truth. And you just better make sure that you're giving them the truth. Innocence, the innocence of a little babe. Perhaps these children that Jesus called had never willfully sinned at all. And so they were innocent. And so He looked at them and He saw the humility, the purity, and the innocence of a little child. And He says, the kingdom of heaven is made of such as these. So we must be purged of all iniquity and be innocent as a little babe, a little child. Purity. We must have a believing heart as a little child, just to accept what is brought forth. One of the things that my wife had to do in the Christian education course was to minister salvation message to a little child. And over the Christmas holiday, we had an opportunity to go back to Albuquerque, and she ministered to our little 7-year-old grandson in an unsaved family. And she shared with him the simple gospel, the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a little child, because he had a believing heart and he was open, he said, "Yes, Grandma, I want to receive Jesus in my heart." And then a little child is uninhibited. They're not concerned about anybody looking at them. They're just as free to dance before the Lord and to laugh and to giggle and to pinch each other. And it doesn't make any difference. A little child will wander right up here in front of 3,000 people and never give it a second thought. And that's what God wants us to be. And you see, that's the beauty, my friends, of the dancing before the Lord. You see, you have to be uninhibited to dance before the Lord. If you're all stiff and starchy, and you're all concerned at who's looking at me, and what do they think about me, and am I making the right moves, and are my feet graceful enough, you're never going to be like that little child. God wants you to be uninhibited, just free before Him to love Him and to praise Him, to express your love without any concern for anyone else except Jesus. And that's the heart of a little child. And then a little child is loving. Even when they're bad, they never quit loving. They don't know the meaning of the word to quit loving mom and dad. They don't know unlove unless they receive it from mom and dad. Their heart is to love, to express love, to give love freely and openly in great quantities. And the only reason our love has ever been shut off in our lives is because someone has shut it off. And we've turned callous and cold. And then our Lord wants us to be like a little child who is devoid of earthly ambitions. See, it doesn't make any difference. Oh, they might imagine and dream that someday I'm going to be president of the United States, but tomorrow it'll be something else. And so they're not concerned at that point about staking out that claim and setting that goal and making something out of themselves, a success story. No, they're just willing to live life each day, satisfied with the things that they have. And a little child learns to obey. He really does. And it is true that we have to set their boundaries. But they are willing to obey. They are willing to obey. That's why it's so critical for you parents to raise up a child in the way that they should go so that they will not turn from it when they grow older. You see, the rebellion in our hearts is because that a rebellion was allowed to grow when we were young. We were never given discipline. That's why it's so difficult for many of you to enter into a proper church relationship. That's right. And I've discovered that in the ministry in Vancouver. And many have left because of that, because they were unwilling to submit to the discipline of a pastor or correction. Well, who do you think you are? Well, I'll just go to some other church. They don't require that of me there. You're certainly strong-handed, aren't you? No, brother. I'm just carrying out the commission that God has given me as a pastor. And then a little child is dependent. He's totally dependent. He is totally dependent on his family, on his father. Totally dependent. A little child cannot get up in the morning and fix his own breakfast. A little child does not know how to go to the grocery store and to buy food. A little child can't go out and get a job. He can't buy his clothes. A little child is totally dependent on the Father. And you see, that's what God wants us to be. To have the attribute of being totally dependent upon Him for everything. Everything in life. Everything that we need. We must be dependent upon Him. Now I believe that there is a connection here between the attributes of a little child and the attributes of a man and the man-child. I think there's no mistake. And I don't believe that the King James Bible is inspired, but I do believe that God has inspired the translation of some of the words so that we have the correct rendering, and there is no doubt. And I think man-child is an excellent translation of what God wants us to be in these last days. And I think without going into all the theology of it and the Greek of it, all we have to know is that the term man carries with it certain qualities that God wants His people to have that I've enumerated to you. And the word child carries with it attributes that God wants us to be. And He wants us to combine those together. And that's the person that He wants us to be. Now let me, in closing, just say this. We will be that man, and we will be that child of God. And we will be the man-child that God is calling out in these last days. That company of committed saints that are willing to lay down everything for Him, regardless of the cost, and bring about the move of God before the rapture in these last days. And you're going to be a part of it if you lock in with what we're doing right here, what God wants to do. We will have strength and maturity, but we will be humble. We will have great capability to do many things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will have great power, miracle-working power that we've never seen before in the face of the earth, to do the greater works that Jesus said we would do. But they'll be devoid of earthly ambition. There'll be no glorified saints right here, brother, saying, look at me and what I can do. There'll only be those who say, look at what the Lord is doing. Look at what my Jesus has done. For His glory He will not give to another. And then there will be unity, because we'll all be believing the same thing. We'll all be believing the same message. We'll all be walking in step with one another. And we'll be producing offspring, because we'll have such love in our hearts for the lost. There may very well be more people coming to the kingdom of God in the last days of the man-child ministry than there has been in this whole century. Because God is going to pour out His power on a people who know how to use it and will use it. And because their heart is full of love, they'll take it to the ends of the earth. Whether it be Japan or Canada or Korea or wherever there's a need. And that's all over the earth. And then we will have great leadership, ability, and great leaders. But they'll be gentle and mild, and they'll be meek. They will not lord it over the saints. And we'll have a fully developed body, and it'll be completely uninhibited. And we're seeing that now. And I don't know what God's going to do next, but whatever it is, we're ready for it, aren't we? Because all we want to do is please Him. And we will be like Christ. Because we will have that simple trust in the Father and obedience and dependency on Him. And we will be able to love deeply with great commitment, because we shall be as a little child. Thank you, Jesus.